الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. With regard to keeping a complete and perfect roza, one should keep roza of his thoughts also. And with regard to thoughts, the various types we have discussed. And with regard to that is pride, which is just an imaginary thing also. A person thinks he is somebody and he imagines his position. And a thing that is generated from this pride is anger. That also is from pride. Anger is also haram. And a person, if he keeps the rosas of his thoughts, controls his thoughts, then inshallah, his anger will be in control already. He won't have cause even to become angry. And anyway, if a person does become angry, which is also human nature, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that a person who becomes angry, and his anger does not go away, he remains angry, that person is a shaitan. And a person who doesn't become angry, no matter what is done to him, is a donkey. Because angry person is natural, something wrong is done, you have to get angry also. But when this anger comes, it has to be controlled also. And if it is for the sake of deen, our Shaykh Dhammat Barakatum says that if, for example, Pakistan is at war with India, and then at the time of war, fighting the Hindus, fighting the Indians, the India army, that time a person must show his anger. That is a time it is for us to show one's anger. If a person goes there and he shows humility at that time, and is facing the Indian army, and he says, "Main Hatir, Fatir, Abdul Qadir, Larne ko aaya," then you show your humbleness. What am I? I'm nothing. I have been ordered to come fight against you. That tawadu at that place is haram. At that time, even if it is normally one's mustache, a person must remove it completely, that is the best. And if a person wants to keep a mustache, it is permitted that only so much that the whiteness of the upper lip must not be covered. To that extent it is permitted. But that is also second division. A person wants a first division pass, he must remove his mustache completely. But at the time of jihad, for war, then to make one's mustaches big, in order to put fear in the person, that time it is permissible and it is advisable that a person makes his mustache big for such an occasion. So the anger will come at such a time. So, but when this anger comes, to control this anger is also extremely important. And the Quran Sharif praises those people, والكاظمين الغيظ, those people who make qazam, who control their anger. Qazam means that when the leather bag in which water used to be full, when it is full, then you tie the top. That is called now, that is qazam, qazam. You have tied the top now. Like that, the anger is inside, but you tie it up. You don't let it come out. That is what is required. Or to become angry when somebody has done something wrong against your nature, but then you control it. And where it is necessary to show your anger, you show it also. And that also, anger is also a deception, a dhoka. It isn't really there. An example which our Shaykh Dhammat Barakatum gives, first Hazrat says that anger always only comes on who are those who are smaller, junior, weaker than you. When it is a big person, he did something, then there is no anger. Because now you know you can't do anything. But when you think you can do something, then you become angry. So Hazrat gives an example, a person is having an argument, a fight with his wife. And she is very, very angry also. And he says, "Today I'm going to make mince out of you. And there will be nothing left out of you. I'm going to make pulp out of you." But then suddenly he hears a knock at the door. The doorbell rings, and when he goes and check up, It's his two brothers-in-law. And both of them, they in the military. And they've come in military gear with their guns also. And now suddenly what he says, please make me mad. Now where did that anger go? If he was really so anger, where is it gone? Where is it evaporated? So it is just in the mind. It isn't really there. It is just a deception, a dhoka. So this anger, which is just a dhoka, it only comes on those who are smaller than us, where we think we can do something. But where somebody more stronger comes, then there is no, then a person just laughs and he just forgets everything. Shaykh Ahmed Barakatuh many times, one of Hazrat's murid, who was very good in imitating also, one scene Hazrat used to tell him to imitate it, or about Mirza, that one call it. That when he was burning some ta'weez and that and the smoke, and Mirza got very angry of the smoke and all that. But then when afterwards he told, and Mirza started shouting him, "What are you doing here? You're making this noise, the smell here, and such a terrible smell." Then he says that Hazrat told me to do it. The minute he said Hazrat told me to do it, Mirza just gave a little chuckle. He said, "No, burn more time." So where the anger went now? Because now Hazrat's name came, and the anger just evaporated. There was no anger now. So this is what anger is. So it's not difficult to control this anger. It is just inside, it is an imaginary thing. It does come, but a person can control it very, very easily. And it's absolutely essential to control one's anger. When a person doesn't control his anger, how many times a person blurts out the words of divorce to his wife, and then he suffers his whole life after that. He's sorry, why did I say this? How many times in arguments we said something with close people, friends, and afterwards we are so sorry we said those words. And then again our pride makes it difficult for us to even ask forgiveness also. Because of pride we became angry. And because of pride now it's difficult for us to even ask for forgiveness also. And if we have to, then we try and justify ourselves again. And in that again, with a whole lot of other gunas, we will lie because you said this, but we know the person didn't say it. Because you did that, that is why I became angry. So now lying also. Then we start finding fault in that person to justify those words that we said and that anger that has come into us. Now when we start finding fault, false accusation, ghibat, bohtan, tuhmat, all these gunas a person falls in again. All because of this pride that generates all these other things. And from all these thoughts, as quite a few sadhus have said, we feel we are nothing, we are so faulty, we are totally faulty. And this is what is required. Huzurganidin, when you, what is the condition? From inside, genuinely they realize that we are worth nothing. You go and visit them, you give them a hadiah, they say, "Why you wasted your time? We're not worth this." We tell them, "No, you are mashallah thirst." They say, you don't know what we are. Because that full realization of the faults are in us. So if that realization can come, it is mubarak. That when a person realizes fully, and as long as that is not there, and we feel I'm worth something, that is extremely dangerous. That is where all the trouble starts. Now, if somebody didn't do things right, somebody didn't fulfill my rights, we're doing so much for them, they don't appreciate. All this comes when they try. But when the person realizes that I'm nothing whatsoever, that what am I? That whatever you are doing, it's your ihsan you are doing. It's your akhlaq you are doing this for me. This also got a bit left out. We didn't go into it fully. But Hazrat Ahmad Barakatuh says that, for example, if the husband praises the wife, she must also fully realize, if she thinks really I'm like this, and she also, that you don't appreciate anything, then that is also not right. The tawadu and humility must be in her also. And if the husband praises her, makes love to her, she must say, not only realize, she must say, "I'm not worthy of this. It's your kindness that you have been good to me. You overlook so many of my faults. And that you will make love to me, I'm not worthy of being made love to her too. And in fact this poem of Hazrat, aap chahe humko hai karam aapka, if you love us it is your kindness, warna hum chahne ke to kaabil, we are not worth to be loved. And if perchance by mistake the wife tells the husband and she expresses appreciation, then he also must feel the same, that I'm not worthy of this at all. It's your kindness that you are showing love to me. So love we must give, respect we must give, praises we must give. But when we are receiving it, whoever, go from both sides, when we receive it, realize we are not worthy of it. That tawadu is very, very necessary. If the tawadu is not there, and the opposite of it, pride is in a person, and then somebody does not show respect, and we see everywhere this happens, then a fight starts there. So therefore, to remove this, this is one effort of the Shaykh is to make on his murid, to scrub it out completely, this pride. That in any level that he thinks that I'm worth something, this must come out of a person. And he must realize I'm worth nothing. That is absolutely essential. And this abdiyat, this tawadu, this abdiyat is very, very valuable by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this kamal of abdiyat was in Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that Allah showed it, that when Allah mentioned the great, great ni'mat Allah had blessed Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what then Allah used the word abd, like the revelation of the Quran Sharif, what a great ni'mat. The final kitab in which is condensed all the kitabs of the previous times, all the knowledge, as we are listening to in Fadail al-Quran, what a great kitab this Quran Sharif. Allah revealed it on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for that Allah Ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. That Allah has revealed this kitab on, not ala rasulihi, not ala nabiyihi. All that was also correct and is correct also. But Allah used the word abd to show that when abdiyat was there to that level, Allah had then blessed with this great ni'mat. Similarly, Mi'raj is that great ni'mat where no other Nabi was blessed with such a ni'mat. And not even Jibreel alayhi salam could go where Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam went. For that also, Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. That Allah made Isra, gave Mi'raj to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here also Allah says, Asra bi rasulihi, bi nabiyihi. Many other words Allah could have used. But here also abd, that the more a person lowers himself, the more higher Allah makes a person. Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam is the other Nabi that Allah has kept in the heavens, who's gone up high. And he also, as he was born, he immediately said, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, I'm Allah's slave. So this abdiyat, then pride will not come if a person has got this. And if pride is not there, anger won't come. Anger is when we feel, I deserve this. My rights have not been fulfilled. People don't respect me. One time, Maulana Abdullah Kapodri, Damat Barakatum, was the rector of the Keshav Madrasa. His son, Maulana Muhammad, had spent about a whole year with Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahrahmatullahi. On one occasion, Hazrat went for Hajj, and Hazrat told him that he must just keep an eye and report back to Hazrat whatever happens, what he notices, everything. Anyway, then Hazrat to take the report, told him one day after Asr Namaz, come now to the Khanqa and give me the full report. What had transpired while I was absent. And Hazrat Ji announced in the masjid that nobody must come today to the Khanqa. There were two dihatis, village people, and these people, things register with difficulty after a very long time in their mind. No matter how you explain to them, they don't seem to understand, they don't comprehend. So they came. So Hazrat Ji stopped again at the Khanqa door and said again that I announced nobody must come. And why are you people coming? Still, one of them still came, and he sat down. And they don't sit with respect also. And Hazrat's position. But these people, it makes no difference to them. On that occasion then, Hazrat told Maulana Muhammad that If the whole world praises you and listens to you, and it doesn't go to your head, then you are Hazrachi. And if it goes to your head, you are not Hazrachi. And the same way, if nobody shows you respect, and nobody gives you honor, and it affects you, then you are not Hazrachi. And if it doesn't affect you, then you are Hazrachi. In other words, your status, your position, is not the outside people, what they say and how they regard you. It is what you yourself are. And yourself you are, it is what Abdiyat. And according to our thinking, that if we are humble, we're going to tell all, I'm the biggest sinner, I'm very bad, nobody is going to respect us. That is our thinking. So what we try and put a show of piety. Even if we have it, or whatever piety, we make it known, our piety. That I'm so pious, I did this, I make so much ibadah, so much nafil, I do these things, so that people respect us. But the reality is, it does not work like that. When a person wants to show his piety, then he loses all respect. He did it to gain respect, and he loses all respect. Any person who is a show-off, that you can camouflage your showing off to quite an extent, but it's not covered up forever. People make it out. And as soon as people make it out, they lose respect for that person. And we say also, forget from deen, from dunya's people, he's a big show-off. He likes to show, he's a big poster, he's very arrogant. Even dunya's people, from dunya's point of view, they lose respect for such a person. And a person who's humble, a person who's sincere, opposite of showing off, sincerity, ikhlas, people have respect. When people realize this person who was doing so much, he never spoke about it, they have great respect. But our thinking is in this deception and dhoka, and we don't come out of it, that I must show my piety, I must make known my piety, then people will respect me. But it does not work like that. And this is not only from dunya's point of view, in the hadith it is clear that Allah Ta'ala, and the other thing is when we try and gain our own respect, we try and show our piety, taqwa ka bagarna, that I'm so muttaqi, I've got so much taqwa, these things we try and show, and if we do get respect also, then Allah, it comes clearly in a hadith, that a person who wants to be, wants name, fame, wants to become big, I leave him to himself. And in which valley he goes and get destroyed, in hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, I don't care. Now you have to look after your own respect. And any person who has position, whether it is in on any way, because of money, wealth, whether it be because of position, or because of position in dunya, he's a top politician, or whatever it is, or in any other aspect, even in deen, because you are pious, your piety comes to be known, and in fact it comes in the hadith, that person is in great danger when fingers are pointed at him. Either because he's that big person, he's that pious person, he's that great on Jezikoi, he's that person, or because of your evil, he's that big crook. Whenever fingers are pointed at a person, that person is in great danger. So even for good, when fingers are being pointed, when your name is being taken, you are so big. Now, for that person to look after that position is very hard also. Because there are innumerable people who are jealous of him now. People whose jealousy will not remain only in their heart, but they start doing things against that person. And they'll try and bring him down. For the Christians, it's a daily thing. Those who sincerely also, who do good for people, then there are others who want to bring them down. And they make every effort, they plant certain things against them. However, whatever the truth is, but one person has said that one person who was very much in Jamaat work, this is very long ago, when Nixon was the President of America, and he was very keen to give dawah to non-Muslims. He went and gave Nixon dawah. And when he gave him, he watered down. He also became soft for Islam. That is when we had the Watergate scandal. And all those things. Then these top people get planted with all these things. They lead you into all these things. So whenever fingers are pointed to a person, whoever, in whichever way, that person is in great danger. So if you got your position by yourself, you were, Allah doesn't protect you. And that person can't then protect himself. You are not in a position, no man can protect himself. You do your utmost. And when a person did all this sincerely only for Allah's pleasure, then Allah protects that person. And who Allah to protect? Who in kabar, ita lihikarsanga. Nobody can touch one hair of his body also. Then the people who are jealous will burn in their jealousy. But they won't be able to do anything. Their plans will fail. They won't be able to harm that person. So therefore, if you want your own pride, you are not going to get it. People are going to begin to hate you. You are going to get those jealous people, and their jealousy and the plans of their jealousy will work against you. You will get destroyed. But when you do it, you're sincere, and you make a tawadu, and all that also for Allah's sake, which is clear in the hadith, man tawada'a lillah. A person who makes tawadu, but for Allah's sake, not for name's sake. Not the people must say he's very humble, he's a very down-to-earth person. He did it for Allah Ta'ala's sake, then again, rafa'ahu Allah. It could have come, rafa'ahu, that Allah, the zamir is very close. And he could refer to Allah will raise him. But Allah made Zahir his name again. Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Otherwise, according to grammar and literature beauty, to repeat again, you just suffice on the pronoun. You don't use the noun everywhere. But Allah Ta'ala again used this, his name, in order to show that Allah is who made it very clear, Allah Ta'ala will raise the person. Just like this is Samana in Balaghat, that a person who makes hijrat, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلْدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا وَإِمْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا. Those places, Zamir. لِلْدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا وَإِمْرَأَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا. And a person whose hijrat, مَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله. He also could refer to هجرته إليهما. That his hijrat is towards them. The pronoun could have been used. But here it is, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh, has said that here, to get the lizzat, the name of Allah and his Rasul. That again, Allah, because there is enjoyment. When a person knows the enjoyment of Allah's name, he wants to take Allah's name again. Hadrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi has written, the most word that has come in the Quran Sharif is the name of Allah. There is perhaps hardly a page on which there isn't Allah's name. And there are many pages where the page is filled with the name of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, everywhere the pronoun He could have been used. But repeatedly, when I was at university, may Allah make ma'af for this, but when we used to write our assignments and that, one particular thing the professor used to say, that don't write every time sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This burns the non-believers. That just write, you mustn't just write Muhammad. Don't write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want to write Rasul, write the Rasul, but don't write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because according to him, it was against the high standards of literature that you repeat so much. But indeed, that even in the dars of hadith, our asatiza used to teach us that whenever the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, then say, every student must say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is for this reason that previously, in our madrasas, when a student used to do Mishkat Sharif, there was hardly a student who didn't make ziyarat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in reading Mishkat, which was normally the first kitab of hadith, now there are other kitabs also, but previously, the first kitab of hadith that a student studied was Mishkat Sharif. And there, every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name came, every time a person is reading and hearing, there are 50 students, you are reading, 50 students, you are listening, they are all saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how much of Durood Sharif? And if the one read by the reading of Durood Sharif, it is one thing by which you make ziyarat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Dora, it was common, students repeatedly used to make ziyarat of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But sadly today, neither does the ustad tell the student to read Durood Sharif, neither does the student also read Durood Sharif. We just carry on reading, and Durood Sharif is hardly recited. Therefore, we hardly get students who make ziyarat of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dust. And today perhaps Haji Dasatis are yet to meet Ziyarat because of the very low amount of Durood Sharif that we recite. Otherwise, the snuff is so high. Anyway, so here also Allah Ta'ala said, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ That who makes tawadu for Allah, Allah will raise that person. And in رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ is included Allah's protection is also for that person. It reason that he just have a high position and fingers will be even pointed at him and those fingers will be able to do anything against him. They won't be able to do anything. Allah's protection will also be for that person. And this we see openly in our eyes, that how many of our kabir and buzurgs, what honor Allah has given them, no bodyguards with them. And but there are so many people who are jealous, who are hate them, but it makes no harm to them. Eh? And this hatred and jealousy is also nothing to be worried about, and nothing to be, that it causes concern. How can people hate buzurgs, etc.? Allah Ta'ala says in the Qur'an Sharif, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شِيَاطِينَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ And then Allah says, we have made for every Nabi also his enemy. And from the شِيَاطِينَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ The shaitans from amongst the jinn and mankind. So this is a natural thing. And nobody has been spared this. Today, there are enough people who hate Allah Ta'ala also. In Turkey, not very long ago, they had successfully built a dam in one place which the government wanted to do, and it came out very well. One of the ministers, when he stood up, he said that by the graces of Allah, he was immediately fired. That why do you take Allah's name? We did it. Allah didn't do it. The secular Turkey which is there today, they don't want to hear. When so-called Muslim country don't want to hear Allah's name, and in the West, where do they want to take Allah's name? People don't want to give any due to Allah Ta'ala. We, where they are. Everyone, Fir'aun was one God, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. Today everyone has become Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am the great God. So anyway, when we do it for Allah's sake, then Allah Ta'ala will also protect and look after us. So anyway, with this tawadu is very, very essential to cultivate. And many people feel offended that why don't we get a pat on the back? Why aren't we praised? Why all the time this? This tawadu has to come in a person. And the praise for a person who wants praise is going to destroy that person. We want to get a certificate that we got our maghfirat in Jannah. And we got our, we are all right and we are good. And some of us feel that khilafat means that now you are good. Khilafat does not mean that at all. How many times? One time when Hazrat came, one person Hazrat had given khilafat to, that person shaved his beard. So Mir Sahib immediately said, then the discussion was, mistake is khilafat that. Mir Sahib said he has shaved his own khilafat off. Now what khilafat you still going to take back from him? He has shaved off his own khilafat. So a khilafat is nothing. One person, very great also, of a very great sheikh, he had got khilafat. He went to the UK. Afterwards it was seen almost every day, he's buying one, two porn films and looking at them. Video films all the time and just looking at them. So khilafat must never fool a person. That I got khilafat, I'm all right. That is for various reasons, Mashayikh. When I went to Bangladesh now, Maulana Jafar Sahib said that Allah Hazrat had appointed him to keep a monthly majlis of all Hazrat's khulafa. And Hazrat told him that many of these khalifas don't even know what is bayat, forget khilafat. And to encourage them to promote the tasawwuf, I've given them ijazat. But now you teach them every month. You bring them and they will feel offended if you're going to say that they don't know. I'm a khalifa. And I don't know about even what is bayat, forget. And I got khilafat already. So don't say that it is for their tarbiyah. Tarbiyah of the khalifa, they're all going to feel very offended. But mashura. And in that mashura, explain to them, make that tarbiyah. Train them, teach them what is bayat, what is tasawwuf, what is khanqa. Teach them. So the khilafat is nothing. A person thinks I got khilafat and I got jannat certificate or that I'm all right. That person is fooling himself. He is, it's nothing whatsoever. The main thing, first of all, is not even bayat. Sohbat is very important. And how much a person has sohbat. And sohbat also, it must be husna rifaq. If it is bad sohbat, Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayh, and they were fighting the British. The person who used to make taan and give to Hazrat, he was the spy for the British. So what sohbat is it? The Quran person who gives taan, all the time he's with you. He doesn't separate at all, but he was the spy of the British. And he used to was giving away all the secrets. So that was, he also did sohbat. But what was that sohbat? One sohbat was of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, who were right in Makkah Sharif. They were all the time in the city and in the town of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one sohbat was of Uwais al-Tarmi. And where was he? What was the sohbat of Uwais al-Tarmi? And who hardly came in, he didn't become a Sahabi. But what was his darja? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you will meet a person in Yemen. Qarn is a place in Yemen. Uwais from Qarn. Uwais Qarni. When you meet him, ask him to make dua for you and ask him to make dua for the Ummah. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so what is this position? Also another point that we learn, why didn't he come? He had so much love, what kept him away? The khidmat of his mother. And he had asked permission. And this is what is deen. Kamal of deen and i'tidal of deen. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother is so old, you stay there and make her khidmat. That is, you don't even come in my sohbat. To become a Sahabi, what a great honor. That to just ask you, leave your mother for one day, or for a week, make the safar. Come here at least this month. So, in deen, i'tidal, to see everything. Our Shaykh, Naamul Barakatun, says that the husband and wife have become old now. The children have flown the nest. They are all settled. It's only the old lady, old man. And they think now, even at night we can't sleep, we're going to make Allah's ibadah now. At night also, in the day also, and they make a program, we're going to get up to Hajjut at 2 or 3 o'clock, then we'll make the Hajjut namaz, then we'll make Fajr, we'll make Ishraq, we'll go and sleep for a while, get up, have breakfast, lunch, have a nap after Zohar, from Asr till Isha, we'll make ibadah again. This was the plan. Allah planned something else. One of the two became paralyzed, got a stroke. Now Hazrat says, all your tahajjud, and all your ishraq, and all your nawafil is to make khidmat of the other person. And you'll get even more than all your tahajjud and everything. And this is also ikhlas. That if you, so what is the reason for doing this? For Allah's pleasure. And Allah's pleasure is not confined in tahajjud and ishraq, and tilawat of Quran Sharif. Allah's pleasure, as Buzurg have written, as many people as there in the world, so many ways there are to reach Allah Ta'ala. And some have made it even more wider, that as many creation of Allah, and all the creation, as many breaths as they take, they breathing in and out, Allah Akbar, one person's breathing in 1 hour, how much is it? And all the people, all Allah's creation, there are so many ways to reach Allah Ta'ala. So a person mustn't be adamant that only in this one way that I'm going to reach Allah Ta'ala. When Hadr Shaykh al-Hind, Hadr Maulana Mahmood al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he completed his studies, he stayed by Haji Bilalullah Mahajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, he came back to India. Then he went to Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangui Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, Hazrat, I want to make more taraqi in my spiritualism, in my tasawwuf. Hazrat said, your taraqi now is in teaching kitabs. So he thought, what is this teaching kitabs? Everyone teaches kitabs. Where my taraqi is going to be, my progress, my enhancement, where is it going to be for in this? So then he went to Ajmer Sharif. And there he made murakaba at Haja Mohinuddin Ajmeri Rahmatullah Ali's father. And the same thing he told him, that now you go and teach. When he came back, he came to the Khanqa in Congo. When Hazrat saw him coming, Hazrat said, yes, when we hear small people say, you don't listen. When big people say, then you listen. So Allah's pleasure is not only in zikrullah. If Allah's pleasure is to make khidmat of the people, to maintain the stool and the urine of people. If at that time that is the necessity, you find Allah there. And it comes clearly in the Hadith Sharif. that Allah will say on Qiyamah Day that I was ill, you didn't come and visit me. I was in need, you didn't come and help me. A person will say, Ya Allah, you are the one who gives shifa, where you become here? You are the one who sees to everyone's need. Where were you in need? Allah said, where you gone to visit the sick person? That was the where you had found Allah. You would have found me there. So this is a parent's life, to see to everything of you. And not that I'm too busy making zikr, I got no time to go and visit the sick people. I got no time to see to this, etc. No, everything. And to see in everything where is Allah's pleasure. In which thing lies Allah's pleasure. And not confined it. And when we do try and do something, it's in most probability, it is for our nafs sake. We like to do this. And now we are doing this. Whatever, and we see our buzurgs, what they did with the basic things. But whenever there was a taqaza and demand for something else, they switched over immediately to do the other thing. So to see what Allah Ta'ala wants from us, that is important. Anyway, all this is when sincerity comes, when tawadu comes in a person. With regard to end itself, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, on the day of Qiyamah, and the announcement will be made, that we are all the strong people. In fact, it comes in the Hadith, that a strong person is not one who fights and puts the other person down. That is not really a strong person. A strong person is who controls his anger. If a person can't control his anger, can't control himself, he's an extremely weak person. That is not a strong person. So a strong person is not in wrestling or in boxing, if he puts the other person down. That is not a strong person. A strong person is he who controls his anger. With regard to this, this instance comes to mind, and it illustrates this point also so well, that Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, when did he become and how did he become Junaid Baghdadi? He was Junaid and he was the king's boxer, wrestler. And he was the royal boxer. And he was such that nobody could put him down. But one day, one very weak, thin, frail, feeble person came to the king and said, I want to fight Junaid. The king laughed, where are you going to fight Junaid? My Junaid. And you so thin, you so weak, you so feeble, you going to fight him? He says, no, I will fight him. After when he insisted, he said, all right. Then when he went into the ring to start wrestling or boxing, so he whispered in Junaid's ears, that I'm a family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, savior, and I'm having great, great difficulty financially. Mm-hmm. If you allow me that I put you down, again, what? He was, if we're not doing it now, for Allah's sake he did it. Not for his name, not for the king's sake, for nothing, for Allah's sake. So it just came in Junaid's heart. And he says, I will win and I will get so much money, my work will get done. Let me win this and let me win the prize. And Junaid allowed it. That night he saw in his dream, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw him, he saw Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream, who said, oh Junaid, that for my family, for my child, for my son, you let go your honor of dunya. We are giving you the honor of akhirah. And then he became Junaid Baghdadi. Mm-hmm. Which was, he did not have his name. That king's name, perhaps, I don't know if it's recorded in the kitabs of history, but we don't know that king's name. Mm-hmm. But Junaid Baghdadi, who doesn't know him? Forget Muslims, non-Muslims' name. People who hate the Tasawwuf also know his name. Mm-hmm. And they also quote him. Though many ulama don't like the Tasawwuf also. But Junaid Baghdadi's name, they will take. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah's name, they will take. Ala Rahmi Anf. Even if they don't like the Tasawwuf and they don't want to take the Tasawwuf name, but they'll take Junaid Baghdadi's name. And they'll take Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah's name. And all the great buzurgs' name, they will have to take that. Okay? So this also, that when the sincerity is there. He was not doing it for his dunya sake, he did it for Allah's sake. What Allah Ta'ala is doing. So tawadu also for Allah's sake. So it comes in the Hadith Sharia that a strong person is not one. He puts him down. Strong person is that who controls his nafs, who controls himself. And that is what we have to learn, to control the sense. And the simple thing is that humility comes into us. then there is a question of this anger, because anger 99% is because of this. The other anger because of need, etc., that is different, that you will be able to harness it and use it correctly. Now also comes in the Hadith Sharif, on the day of Qiyamah, announcement will be made that where are all those people who controlled their anger for Allah's sake. So group of people will stand up. And then all the most beautiful Hurul-Een of Jannah will be brought. And in front of our entire creation, it will be said, choose out who you want to know. This will be in return that you controlled your anger. Eh? If the most world is brought, and if you say, who wants to choose who you are given, the opportunity, whoever qualifies here, they can choose most world here. Eh? And what is most world? She goes to toilet also. Eh? She gets flu also. She has her moods also. The Hurul-Een of Jannah, they don't have any of those things. So a person who controls his anger, there is great, great reward. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was angry on one of his slaves. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Siddiq and anger, these don't go together. He looked around, he saw Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and immediately said, for Allah's sake, I make you, I free him. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you did very good. If you did not, Allah would not have freed you. Allah would have taken you to death. Mm-hmm. Today with our workers, our children, our subordinates, wives, and how we show our anger. And if Allah has to take us to task, what will happen to us? Okay? So if a person controls his anger, then it is a great, great honor. And so this anger, it comes, and a person controls it. Also, how many times, what a fool anger makes out of a person. If somebody makes a fool out of you, how bad you feel. What you making a fool out of me? Hey, you think I'm a little baby, you think I'm wet behind my ears stuff. I'm so old, I know what I'm doing. Somebody makes a fool out of you. But anger, what a big fool it makes out of you. Hey, you want to fight somebody and you say, I'm very angry, just hold me before I do something. You can't do anything. Your anger is making a big fool out of you. And all who are standing around there are having a big laugh at you. Hey, even those who normally respect you, but now when you are confused, just hold my hand before I do this. And how many of us also, like for example, somebody is speaking bad about the ulama, anyone speaking about the khanka, about our sheikh, about anyone, is speaking bad. And you know, I wanted to tell him, but I said, I must just control myself. Hey, I didn't want to make a scene. But when you mustn't make a scene, then you may make a big scene. Yeah, where you could tell that person in a nice way, suitable way, but this anger, what your imaginary anger, makes a big fool out of oneself. So, what is the good out of this? Eh? What is this anger if a person, and as I said, the most dangerous thing, a person loses his wife, loses his children in the fit of anger. And what he says afterwards when he gives talaq, divorce, he goes to Mufti Sahib, he says, and he looks for the masala, that in anger talaq doesn't take place. Eh? And he says, Mufti Sahib, I was angry when I gave talaq. That in anger, if you shoot somebody, that person is not going to die. Eh? And you're going to shoot somebody in happiness. You're going to shoot in anger. So talaq also you give when you are angry. And that anger then, and then a person, he gives three talaqs. He gives more than three talaqs. And then he wants to reverse it again. How is he going to reverse it? And the sorrow remains with him forever. He lost his wife, he lost his children, and he's got love for them. That is the sad part. If he did not have love and you lose your wife, well, she was, he didn't love her also, you're not going to miss her, but you love her. And this anger that just came at that time, and it made you give that love, that talaq at that time, that divorce at that time, and now you are sorrowful. And the burning love is in you, you're missing her. You're missing your children, and now the children have got parents, and they're growing up without parents. Eh? They are what their parents are like. They are orphans, and all what has caused this? That anger. Eh? And this anger just comes. So therefore, to control this anger, how many of our students, and that they asked us reference according to what we know, very good students. The boy got married. Then we get the reports that how his anger and how he behaves. Like an animal, And he's like a beast he carries on. And we got shocked, we get shocked. That what we knew of the students, he was not like this. So this two-faced thing of ours, like a hypocrite. On the one side we give a picture that we are very sweet and we are very humble. Hazraji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, people used to take mashura from Hazraji that for marriage for my daughter, there's few proposals that come. Which one must I accept? Hazraji say, many of our girls, they say, we want alims, we want muftis, want a rich person, want a handsome person. Those things are not important. Hazraji should say, that a person who is soft-hearted. That is the important thing. Even if he hasn't got deen, forget alim and mufti. For deen to come doesn't take long. A little bit of effort, and with softness and with muhabbat, you can mold the person. The wife can mold the husband as she wants to. But if he's got anger, then he says, the daughter's life is going to be jahannam. She won't have any peace in mind. And our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatuh explains this so well. He says, you become so angry on your wife, and you treat her so bad, that when your daughter is now of marriageable age, she's now 17, 18, she's going to get married any day now, and if perhaps she has got a little bit weakness in her, a small deformity or anything like that, how much won't you want your son-in-law to tolerate her? Like that, tolerate your wife. As your daughter is your daughter, she's part of your heart. If your daughter is to come home one day, and after she's married, with her 1, 2, 3 children, and she didn't talk anything, she didn't complain, I've got problems at home, my husband is treating me badly or anything, but she just went and sleep quietly, perhaps without eating also, then you sleep that night. What is the problem? Why is my daughter not talking? Why is she just went and sleep away? What happens to you? Then Hazrat says, then you are running around for ta'weez and all that. But for yourself, why don't you get ta'weez? Why don't you take treatment for yourself? How you are treating your wife? Isn't she also somebody's daughter? Doesn't her parents, don't they also have feelings for her? And also remember, we might think that now we are already quite old. Our father's-in-law, mother's-in-law has passed away. So now she hasn't got a father-in-law to cry for her. She hasn't got a mother-in-law to come and take your khabar. The mother-in-law controls the son-in-law properly. More than the wife also, the mother-in-law keeps her under check properly. So she also has passed away. So one king, he said that all the sons-in-law, they are what's called it, troubling the girls, the wives very much, and give an order that they must be all executed. So the wife told him, you will be the first one to be executed. Because you also somebody's son-in-law. And thus we forget, we also sons-in-law. Thus we forget that our wife, our daughter, we are worried. We forget our wives are also somebody's daughter. So this anger that we take out, and in the house we take it out. And many women are such who keep the izzat of the husband. They don't even talk about it. They don't go and talk to anyone. And remember in this, it's extremely dangerous. When the woman, and if she doesn't fight back with you, that incident is quite famous, mentioned it also a few times, that this one buzurg was very, very soft natured, very humble. When he was going one day, at the spring, water the people were collecting. And one woman started abusing him, speaking bad about him. He told his khadim, give her one slap. The khadim was shocked. The buzurg never does this, never takes revenge like this. And the next thing that happened, that woman fell down dead. Mm. Then the sheikh reprimanded him, that you didn't take revenge, Allah took revenge. When in dunya we take revenge from one another, Allah leaves it, they sort it out, their matter. But when we don't, and a person leaves it to Allah, then Allah takes revenge, then where does a person stand with each other? So when our wives, they don't even speak, they turn around and they cry at night. And they go, or they go and speak perhaps to their sister or to somebody. And they say, what zulam I'm going through. When Allah listens to this, that person is in a very dangerous position. That person must fear Allah very, very heavily. And when Allah takes a person to task, and there are enough cases where then the person, how he suffered in this dunya. So therefore this anger that we try and take out on these people and the weaker sex, and this is the most coward person and the most, what word can be used, how evil this person is, that you can show all your strength on those weak, so on that woman. Love is called the weaker sex, the weaker people. And with regard to this, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا. Yeah, Allah used the word qada. Allah has made qada. Allah said, who makes qada? Qadi. Qadi, the judge. Allah has made a judgment. Allah could have said, وَأَمَرَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And yeah, the hukam was mainly, the hukam, the whole ayat is dalalat on this, that this was for respect for parents. Now why did Allah put his name first? The reason for that was, Allah wanted to show that the respect of your parents, Allah has put it level with tawheed. How important tawheed, that Allah ta'budu illa iya. That tawheed is the greatest, most important thing. And immediately, wabil walidayni ihsana. And with your parents, you must make ihsana. Then the whole ayat is about parents, it's not about tawheed. It's not about hukuk kullah, it's about parents. So Allah showed that how important right at the beginning. And where Allah said, qaza, well, what is a qazi, a judge? A judge listens to evidence from both sides. You give your evidence, that's right, cross-examination from both sides, then the judge sees everything and he extracts. And then in view of the law of that country, what the laws are, and the evidence, he makes his judgment now. Allah doesn't need that, Allah is above that, Allah's law. Allah doesn't need evidence that you say, the son says, my father was a big zalim on me. He did this to me, he did that to me. My mother was like this. She never looked after me. She never worried about us. All that you say. So you gave your evidence. My mother gives her evidence. Allah's final decision after all the evidence of all the people of the world, that you make ihsan with your. So after that, listen to your evidence. You jive. You did everything is right. Your mother was like this, your father was like this, they did this, they did that. My final decision is that wabil walidayn ihsana. And not only that, the whole ayat there, sometimes if you want to have that gives topic, we'll discuss it. So in that same light, understand that Allah is that qadi, that your wife, she's bad. She does this, she does that wrong, she's always bad. Allah's final decision, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. My hukam is that after listening to everything, that you treat them well. That is my hukam. In spite of their weakness, in spite of their disobedience, in spite of their be'ini and bad'ini, in spite of all those things, my hukam is, ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. You treat them kindly. You be good to them. So this is, but what stops us? That's right, I'm the boss, I'm the big man. Now you must listen to me. And then that anger of ours comes off. And then what happens after that? So this year is also very important, and we try and make our ilaj in this month of Ramadan. And we try and describe, if we remove it, then anger just falls away by the way. And just like autumn comes and the leaves just fall off, the wind blows. The leaves just fall off, you don't have to take off those leaves. If we can remove that anger, that pride of ours. And that will come when in this bayan, we feel that what has been said is only the tip of the iceberg. I am even worse than that. But if we are feeling that why all the time we say, and all my ego, my pride, then how is our relationship? When we realize sincerely, as mashallah some of our brothers they do, they say that we are even worse than all this. And we speak more on this, elaborate more on this, so that our ilah, on hukuk al ibad, all these things. Otherwise, hukuk al ibad are things that normally we don't want to listen. Just keep it covered, keep it under the carpet. Just on talk to our piety and the rights of people. Don't talk about these things. And that's a very, very, very sour and bitter subject. Don't even touch it. But these are the things that are important for us, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And may Allah save us from this pride. Save us which comes from it as anger. And with it, and a multitude of other major, major gunas of backbiting, of slandering, of rumor mongering. All these things come because of this pride in a person. May Allah save us, make our Islam. By the barakat of this great and honorable month, by the barakat of our Mashayikh and the Silsila of Tasawwuf, which is a great institution of Islam, and by this Mubarak time, may Allah out of His fazl and karam, and for every one of us, all of us are in need of Islam. And there is no end to Islam also. And may Allah Ta'ala make us our Kamil and Mukammal Islam out of His Fazl and out of His Rahmat. Subhanallah.